Anyway, one of the United States ministers first there, apostolic said the same congregation. Now it's time to trust her. And the organ text today is the law 28, 23, or it is the 11th day of Ab, 2027. We will start our first service today with a song, and then we'll go into a regular sermon. We're going to do part two of track 8, now it's not the 11th hour. The title of our sermon today is The Church's Condition Just Before the Purification. What greater deception can jump on the human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness, which is Yahshua is the true witness, says so there, there in Revelation 1:5, and it says, finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception. To get honest in that deception, they know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh. While those addressed are flattering themselves that they are in an exalted spiritual condition, the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. For the testimony so plain and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is the true witness who speaks. And so this is Yahshua speaking, and his testimony must be correct. Testimony, Volume 3, 253, by L.D.Y. Who can truly say our goal is tried in the fire? And our garments are unspotted by the world. I saw our instructor pointing unto the garments of the so-called righteousness, stripping them off. For he laid bare the defilement beneath, and he said unto me, can you not see how they have pretentiously covered up their defilement and rottenness of the churches? How has the faithful city become a harlot? My father's house is made a house of the merchandise, a place whence the divine presence and glory have departed. For this charger is weakness and strength is lacking. Testimony 5:8, page 250. For the ancient men, those unto whom Yahweh had given great light and who had stood as the guardians of the spiritual interest of the people, had betrayed their trust. These dumb dogs that would not bark are the ones who feel the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony, Volume 5, page 11. For it is difficult for those who feel secure in their own attainments and who believe in themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message that declares that they are deceived and in the need of every spiritual grace, for the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Okay, it says Volume 3, page 253, by L.D. White. There are many who do not have the description of the Joshua and who have no special duty for the searching out wrong and to deal promptly with the sin existing among them. Let not such hinder those who have the burden of the work upon them. Let them not stand in the way of those who have this duty to do. Some make it a point to question and doubt and find fault because others do the work that Yahweh has not laid upon themselves. They stand directly in the way to hinder those upon whom Yahweh has laid the burden and reproving and correction of the prevailing sin, that this son may be turned away from his people, should a case like the Achan be among us. There are many who would accuse those who might act the part of the Joshua in the searching out of the wrong, of the having a wicked fault-finding spirit. For Yahweh is not to be trifled with, and his warnings disregarded with impunity by a perverse people. Yahweh's displeasure is upon his people, and he will not manifest his power in the midst of them while sins exist among them and are fostered by those in the responsible position. Those who work in the fear of the Yahweh for the reading of the church of the Henderson and for the correction of the grievous wrong, that the people of Yahweh may see the necessity of the abhorrent sin and may prosper in the purity, and that the name of the Yahweh may be glorified, but ever meet with the resisting influence from the unconsecrated Zephaniah, best describes the true state of this class and the terrible judgments that will come upon them. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with the candle and punish the men that are settled on their lead, that say and their heart to Yeshua will not do good, neither will it do evil. For the great day of the Yeshua is near. It is near and hastens greatly. Even the voice of the day of Yeshua as a mighty man, and the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. When Christ is finally come, as it surely will, and Yahweh speaks and to behalf of his people. Those who have sinned, those who have been a cloud of darkness, and who have stood directly in the way of the Yahweh is working for his people, may become alarmed at the length they have gone in the murmuring and in the bringing and discouragement upon the cause. And like the Achan becoming terrified, they may acknowledge that they have sinned, that their confessions are too late and are not of the right kind for the benefit of themselves, although they may leave the cause of Yahweh. Those who have been nearly all their lives controlled by his spirit, as foreign unto the spirit of Yahweh as was the Achan, will be very passive when the time comes for the decided action on the part of all. They will not claim to be on either side. Testimony, Volume 3, 270. We have been inclined to think that where there are no faithful ministers, there can be no true believers. That this is not the case. Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not true, he will take charge of the flock himself. Yahweh has never made the flock are wholly dependent upon the human instrumentality, but the days of the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church are hastening on apace. The Yahweh will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be able to measure the strength of Israel, for the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahshua will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor.
For those who have trusted, and through the intellect, genius, or talent, will not then stand at the head of the rank and file. They did not keep pace with the light. Those who have proved themselves unfaithful will not then be entrusted with the flock. In the last solemn work, a few great men will be engaged. They are self-sufficient and independent of the Yahweh, and he cannot use them. And so Yahweh will have the faithful servants who, in the shaking testing time, will be disclosed unto the view. There are the precious ones now hidden, who have not bowed the knee to Baal. They have not had the light that had been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, but it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior that the pure brightness of a genuine character will be revealed. Testimonies, Volume 581. For the foregoing series of the statements show that the church must be cleansed before the rest of the Yahweh's people are gathered out of all countries. Then in those days and in that time, and I shall bring again the captivity of the Judah and Jerusalem, says the Yahweh, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel. And they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. 2:3, 1:2. But to be delivered from the captivity and to hear that Yahweh pleads there for his people, one dare not spurn now his pleading. They say if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? If thou hast fed the harlot with many lovers, yet return again unto me, saith the Yahweh. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places and see where thou hast not been a land with. In the ways hast thou set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredom and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not become at this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the God of my youth? Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return thou backsliding Israel, saith Yahweh, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, saith Yahweh, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Yahweh, and hast scattered thy ways unto the strangers, unto every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, saith Yahweh. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, unto the family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastures according to my heart, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding, and it shall come to pass when ye be multiplied and increased in the land. In those days, saith Yahweh, they shall say no more the ark of the covenant of Yahweh, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done anymore. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Yeshua, the Son, and all the nations shall be gathered under it, unto the name of the Yeshua, unto Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more, he says, after the imagination of their evil heart. In those days the house of the Judah shall walk with the house of the Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north unto the land that I have given for an inheritance. And unto your fathers, Jeremiah 3, 1 to 4, 12 to 18. Howbeit, says Yahweh, behold, I will send you the Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers. They shall come and smite the earth with a curse. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. You say that, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. This is Yahshua talking. And Yahshua, whom you seek, shall suddenly come unto his temple, that he may abide the day of his coming. And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's hoe. And he shall sit and refine and purify the silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them with gold and silver, that they may offer and unto the Asherah of the Yahweh an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be present unto the Yahweh, as in the days of the old, and as in the former years. And I will come near the years of judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith Yahshua of the host. That's the Son talking, Yahshua. For I am the Yahshua, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith Yahshua of the host. But you said, wherein shall we return? Little man robbed Yahweh. Yet you have robbed me. But you said, wherein have we robbed thee? And the tithes and offering, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Yahshua the host, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will reduce the devourer for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time of the field, saith say to Yahshua of the heavens, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, say to Yahshua of the heavens. Your words have been stout against me, said to Yahshua. Yet she said, what have we spoken so much against it? You have said it is vain to serve the other. And what profit is it that we have kept his orders, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahshua the host, and now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness have set up, yea, they that kept Yahweh are even delivered. And they that served the Yahweh spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance is written before him for them that served the Yahweh and have sought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says Yahshua the host, in that day when I make up my jewel, and I will spare them as a man spared his own son that served him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. Malachi 3:1-18. Therefore, thus saith Yahshua, behold, I lay in the Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the land, and righteousness unto the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuse of the alive, and the waters shall overflow the hiding places. And your covenant with this shall be this, I know. And your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only for the understanding of the report, for the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Yahshua shall rise up as in the Mount Perazim, he shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard from the Yahshua of the host a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Isaiah 28:16-23. As Yahweh has promised that where the shepherds are not sure, he will take charge of the flock himself. Testimony 5:80. Testimony to Ministers 300. Jeremiah 3:17. And as the descendants of the Jacob again becoming a kingdom, appoint unto themselves one head, Hosea 1:11. David their king, Hosea 3:5. And seek Yahshua their host. It is evident that the purified church in the time of the loud cry of the third angel's message will be a theocracy. This is the everlasting kingdom of heaven that's come after the Pentecost and got rid of all sin, got it all, brought it out of the atonement, and now we have a purified kingdom of heaven here on earth. It says, as we continue to read, for the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until the shadow come, and unto him shall the getting of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Behold, a king shall reign in the righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be of an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as the rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Isaiah 32:1-2. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, that's Yahshua the Son, and his name, Yahshua, shall be called the Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh, of the Everlasting Father, as the Prince of the Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of the David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with his judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahshua of the host will perform this. The Yahshua will send a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel. Isaiah 9:6-8. Behold, the Yahshua will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. He will then give them the kingdom. And his work before him, he will then gather his people. Isaiah 40:10. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of the Jesse, prophesied Isaiah in the figurative depiction of this glorious triumph of the Yahweh's purpose, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the spirit of the Yahweh shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Yahweh, and shall make him of the quick understanding and the fear of the Yahweh. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Isaiah 11:1-5. And the illustration of the kingdom, there are three persons brought to view. And this is Jesse, the father of David, the rod, David, himself, and the branch, Yahshua himself. As the relationship shows that David the rod is not Yahshua the branch, for the rod sprang from the stem of Jesse. And the branch from the rod, a fact which is borne out in the cry of the multitude when Yahshua entered Jerusalem, where they shouted, Hosanna unto the Son of David, Matthew 21:15. Plainly therefore the rod coming from the stem of Jesse, the symbolical of the David, and the branch coming from the rod, the symbolical of the Son of David, Yahshua. Upon this ensign, branch and rod, the spirit of the Yahshua shall rest, the spirit of the wisdom and understanding, the spirit of the counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and of the spirit of the Yahshua, and shall make him of a quick understanding the spirit of Yahshua, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness as the girdle of his reins, Isaiah 11 through the top. So, though the innocent emblematizes, now this answer is two people that makes up this answer. That's antithetical David and antithetical Yahshua, the two people in person. So it says, so though the answer emblematizes the connection of the three persons, Jesse the root, David the rod, and Yahshua as the branch, yet the power and wisdom of Yahshua is its underlying and controlling force. Wherefore it says in Yahshua, I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Revelation 22:16. Bearing out that he is all and in all. It says, since therefore from the stem of Jesse came the rod, David, and from the rod sprang the branch Yahshua, David the visible king and Yahshua the invisible king of kings, shall in that day and our time constitute the innocent, and unto it shall the Gentile seek. And his rest, or his resting place, the location where the rod or innocent stand, the kingdom shall be glorious. Yea, I will make the place of my feet glory. Isaiah 60:13 said to Yahshua, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Yahshua, will be their savior, and my servant David as a prince among them. How the Yahshua have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of the peace, and I will cause the evil beast to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safe in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Ezekiel 34:23-25. Thus his church or kingdom is again reflected without the spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Ephesians 5:27, a theocracy of the peace, safety and invincibility, with the rule of the one shepherd and a king, David, and his servant. But the fact that many kings reigned over Israel may in the minds of some give rise to the question why David as a type. Inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype, the leader. Inevitably, because he is the only one who perfectly fits the antitype, the leader. Ship in the time of the loud cry. It says third angel's message, but you know what? We're going to upgrade this to the fifth angel's message. For the antithetical David and the 12th parabolic tower comes forth, and that's Elijah. And the message is the spirit and power of the fifth angel, Revelation 18:1. This being so, then it's necessarily follows that Saul, as the first king who reigned over Israel, and who was largely responsible for the early experience of the David's life as a type of the church leadership in the period preceding the loud cry. The leadership which was raised up in 1844 and for the sole purpose of the gathering of the 144,000, the first fruits of the kingdom, in each case taught perfectly and matches Antipater. On account of his outwardly kingly appearance, Saul was chosen by the people, as the reader will remember, to be their king, in spite of the Yahweh's disapproval, 1 Samuel 8:7. And finally, when Yahweh rejected him and anointed David to be a king in his stead, he was determined to retain the throne by attempting to kill David, but ended up ever before the David ascended it by the deliberately killing himself, 1 Samuel 31:4. Time has already demonstrated that the SDA organization is fulfilling the type, preferring to incorporate and to elect officers by the people's vote to have thereby manifested that they have cared not so much to please Yahweh by being a peculiar people as he would have them to be, as they have to please themselves by being as much as possible like the other denominations. Just as in the Saul's time, the people wanted to be like the nations round about of them, 1 Samuel 8:5-7, although chosen by the people, yet the general compass officers were nevertheless accepted by Yahweh to be the rulers over his people, now as Saul was anciently, just as he betrayed his trust, however, by the disobeying of the word of Yahweh as spoken unto him by the prophet Samuel. So the present Seventh-day Adventist church organization, with the ancient men before the house, says the prophet unto the church, today betrayed their trust. Testimonies, Volume 5, page 211. For a more ample treatment of the subject of the organization, see our organization manual. Speaking unto the SDA leadership, the servant of the Yahweh said, you have no right to manage unless you manage in the Yahweh's order. Are you under the control of the Yahweh? Do you see your responsibility unto him that these men should stand in a sacred place to be as the voice of Yahweh unto the people, as we once believed the general conference to be? That is past. What we want now is a reorganization, General Conference Bulletin, 34th Session, Volume 4, Extra Number 1, April 3rd, 1901. Okay, it says, for the regulatory statement conclusively proves that after the historical Minneapolis meeting in 1888, when the leaders rejected both the message and the counsel which was given them, testimony of the ministers, 468, that sure did not any longer regard the general conference as his servants. Let's read that last time again. It says, the Yahweh did not any longer regard the general conference as his servants, just as he did not any longer regard Saul as king over Israel, after he turned from the Yahshua's command unto him, and now having long since granted the popular demand to organize a general conference in the fulfillment of the type, Yahweh warns that his forbearance is coming to an end today, just as it did then. Suddenly declares the spirit of the prophecy, for Yahweh calls for a spiritual revival and a spiritual reformation. Unless this takes place, those who are lukewarm will continue to grow more abhorrent unto the Yahweh until he will refuse to acknowledge them as his children. For revival and reformation must take place with the ministration of the Holy Spirit. For the revival and reformation are the two different things. For the revival signifies a renewal of the spiritual life by a quickening of the powers of the mind and heart, and by the resurrection from the spiritual death. For the reformation signifies a reorganization by a change in the ideas and theories, habits and practices. For the Reformation will not bring forth the good fruit of the righteousness unless it is connected with the revival of the Spirit. For the revival and Reformation are to do their appointed work, and in doing this work they must blend. That's sure our righteousness, on page 154. It says, reprinted from the Review and Herald, 1902. As Saul's fall came from the neglecting to obey unto the letter of the word of the Yahweh, and from then excusing his disobedience with the pretext that he had spared the best of the cattle for a sacrifice and the worship unto the Yahweh, so the present leadership, although commanded to shun all worldly connections and ways and avoid all manner of the business on the Sabbath, such as selling literature, raising gold, etc., nevertheless disobediently connected with the world and followed in the forbidden path even to the turning of the house of the Yahweh into a house of a merchandise, then continuing in Saul-like fashion, they pleaded extenuation of this disobedient and desecrating course on the ground, as such a practice is good missionary work. But reads the spirit of the prophecy, for a great mistake has been made by some who profess the present truth by the introducing merchandise in the course of a series of the meetings, and by their traffic diverting minds from the object of the meeting. If Yahshua were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, whether they be ministers or people, with a scourge of a small cord, as when he entered the temple anciently and cast out all them as sold and bought in the temple and over to the... Let's do it again. If Yahshua were now upon the earth, he would drive out these peddlers and traffickers, whether they be ministers or people, with a scourge of a small cord, as when he entered the temple anciently and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and over to the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold out, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of the thieves. These traffickers might have pleaded as an excuse that the articles they held for sale were for the sacrificial offering, that the object was to get gain, to obtain means to accumulate. I was shown that if the moral and the electrical facilities had not been clouded by the wrong habits of the living, ministers and people would have been quick to discern the evil results of mixing the sacred and common things. Ministers have stood in the dish and preached a most solemn discourse, and then by the introduction of the merchandise and acting as a part of a ceremony, even in the house of the Yahweh, they have diverted the minds of their hearers from the impressions received and destroyed the fruit of their labor. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 472. Though acknowledging Samuel as the Yahweh's prophet, Saul at the same time deliberately disobeyed his word. Likewise, though also acknowledging Sister White as the Yahweh's servant, the general conference said to say or to do, by the course they pursued, denying her authority. This wide open fact is exposed numerous times in the spirit of the prophecy as a representative statement. Then, those who have chosen to envelope a genius of talent will not then, after the purification of the Seventh-day Adventist Church with the first fruits harvest of the 144,000, stand at the head of the rank and file. For they did not keep the pace with the light. They are self-sufficient and dependent of Yahweh, and he cannot use them. So Yahweh has a faithful servant who, in the shaking, testing time, will be disclosed of you. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. If they continue in this state, Yahweh will reject them. Testimony, Volume 6, page 427. This is a Saul's outward show, resulted consequently only in his being dethroned by another king. So likewise shall the great men of today, those who are at the head of the work, and who trust unto the intellect, genius, or talent, be replaced by those who, though not having a polished outward appearance, are to be disclosed unto the view at this time, as revealing the pure brightness of a genuine character. For further study on this change of the leadership, see our tract number 2, The Warning Paradox. As the Saul furthermore denied Yahweh by refusing to abdicate the throne, and by seeking the life of his anointed King David, so now at the sounding of the trumpet today, we find the general conference refusing to let Yahweh take the reins in his own hands, Testimonies, Ministers 300, or the Yahshua, letting Yahshua take the reins at the Son in his own hands. They're attempting to usurp the throne by determining that they are to rule the denomination until the end of this world, and they're availing themselves of every chance to cast out of their midst in order to safeguard their control of it. Those who are doing this are they whom the prophet Ezekiel prophetically heard saying, "This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh," Ezekiel 11:3. For they are now doing everything possible to exalt and to perpetuate themselves in the power, and to be rid of those who have in the name of the Yahshua published peace, and brought unto them the good tidings that the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off, Nahum 1:15. But this city shall not, says the Yahshua, be your cauldron, neither shall you be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel, Ezekiel 11:11. Those who desire to know the truth of themselves as under what kind of the treatment we have received at the hands of the church officials, as did the David at the hands of the Saul, may read our tract number 7. Count the evidences on both sides before firing for or against. And the rejection of the message which has come unto them with their warnings and reproofs, and in the continuing in their evil ways, our brethren are compelling the Yashur to cut them down by the slaughter weapons of the Ezekiel 9 unless they immediately repent, though on the way to suicide with the sorrow yet they are having in their heart or sin in their heart. For the Yashur will not do good, neither will he do evil, for he is too merciful for the visiting of his people and the judgment. Thus the peace and safety is a cry from the men who will never again lift up their voice like a trumpet and show the Yahweh's people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. These dumb devils that would not bark are the ones who fear the just vengeance of an offended Yahweh. Men, maidens, and little children all perish together. Testimony 5 and 5, page 211. As the soul still further was responsible for the death not only of his sons but also of the people, 1 Samuel 31:6, so the ministry will be responsible for the men, maidens, and little children who fail to receive the seal and who consequently perish in the slaughter. He said, nevertheless, despite their great sin and certain doom, David's the type reveals the fact that though we may cut the skirt of their robes while they are bitter and wroth against us and are chasing us around the sheepcotes, 1 Samuel 24:3, that we may take the spear and the cruiser water from their bolster while they are in a deep sleep from the Yahweh, or that we may, as we find them asleep within the trench, covering their feet in our hiding places, 1 Samuel 26:7-12, having them at our mercy with the power and opportunity to do them much injury, yet in no case would we hurt them in the least, but rather would befriend them. And while they are persecuting us as the soul persecuted David, everyone that is in the distress and everyone that is in the debt and everyone that is in the discontent will be as the type also shows. Join us, 1 Samuel 22:2, whereas all who are neither cold nor hot, lukewarm, satisfied, are with the angel of the church of the Laodicean in the critical danger of the remaining wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, and have been as a consequence screwed out as a consequence. Rejected, cut down, testimony volume 6:427. It says, in the foregoing opposition we see that those who respond and hear the good shepherd's voice are typified by the David's followers, and that those who do not respond are typified by the Saul and his followers. But we have that situation right here in this town. We have the lady that's our landlord, she's the Seventh-day Adventist. She said she believed we have a message for them, but she won't have anything to do with me teaching her. She wants somebody else to teach her the truth. Okay, we kind of have a situation here, like what we just read about. And Luke said, parable of the Great Supper, Yahshua again brings to view both classes. On the one hand, Saul sympathizes, prefigure in the parable those who excuse themselves on the ground that they were too busy with the cares of this life and who consequently with one consent began to make excuse for the first sin unto him. I brought a piece of the ground, and I must needs go and sit. I prayed to have me excused, and another said, I have brought a 5 yoke of the oxen, and I go to prove them. I prayed to have me excused,
and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. On the other hand, David's followers typify those who were found in the streets and lanes of the city, the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. Luke 14:17-24. Immediately after Saul was informed by the Samuel that because of his unfaithfulness, Yahweh had rejected him as a ruler over his people, Samuel was sent secretly for the anointing of the David to reign in Saul's stead. And though Saul was told that Yahweh had rejected him, yet he refused to abdicate, with the result that the Philistines were besetting his army and were about to take the kingdom, for the giant Goliath had stood and cried unto the armies of the Israel and said unto them, why are you come out to fit your battle in array? Okay, I want to back up here and reread this here, what I just read, and put a present day application on it. It says, immediately after Saul was informed by the Samuel that because of his unfaithfulness, Yahweh had rejected him as the ruler over his people, Samuel was sent secretly to anoint David. Now we have this situation right here today. The General Conference represents this antithetical King Saul's same mindset, and Yahweh had to reject them, that leadership. Then he had rejected today, the General Conference, and he has to go to his anointed one that he has already had anointed, Elijah David, to reign in their stead, in the General Conference stead. And because of this anointing, this is what gives the great power and authority to fulfill this seat. Perform the vows of Judah. O Judah, keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, so that wicked shall no longer pass through thee, he is already cut off. And though Saul was told that the Yahweh had rejected him, yet he refused to abdicate. Even though Sister White told the General Conference that Yahweh had rejected them, they were no longer the voice of Yahweh's people, they ignored Ellen G. White. Well, that same type of mentality has been handed out down since then to every leader since then. Yet he refused to abdicate. Okay, he said, am not I a Philistine? Let's move forward. And ye servants in the soul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, he fight me, and then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servant and service. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of the Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When the Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Who are the Philistines today? Well, you can try to figure that one out for yourself. The General Conference is definitely involved in all of this. The Beast is definitely involved in all of this, the Catholic Church. And we have an antithetical independent kingdom of the David that is also involved in this. Though not but a stripling, despised by his brothers, and but lowly regarded by all the others, David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. So the day is going to come when this antithetical David is going to have to step up to the plate again and offer to fight for Yahweh's purified people that Yahshua has already rescued.
So, and he took his staff in his hand and showed him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even and a scrip and his sling within his hand, and he drew near unto the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face of the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine. The sonship of the house of David today that we represent in the 12th house, we're prevailing over the general conference, the hierarchy that's ruling over the Seventh-day Adventist Church with that Trinity doctrine, that 3-in-1 persons of the Godhead, that's false Catholic doctrine. And so this David is going to prevail over all that system by prevailing over the general conference. For the general conference is what makes an image to the beast here in the United States, which represents the Adventist Church. They represent an image of the beast. So David prevailed over the Philistine, an untypical general conference, with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. 1 Samuel 17:32-40, 49-51. This shows right here that answer for David, the house of David, that's who we are. They slay Goliath, the general conference, with their own sword, with their own false doctrine of the 3-in-1 persons of the Godhead, the Trinity. That is the sword that we're going to slay the general conference Seventh-day Adventist with, that doctrine. We're going to expose that to the world. We're going to show where the Adventists use that false Catholic Trinity doctrine to make an image to the beast and enforce it on the members of the Seventh-day Adventist Church all over the world. We're going to show this. And this is how antithetical David is going to expose this. And this is what's going to slay the antithetical Goliath, the general conference. Is their own false doctrine of the false Catholic Trinity doctrine of the 3-in-1 person of the Godhead, and the Holy Spirit's not even a person, don't even have a name. But they say he is a person, that they don't know who he is, they don't know his name, they don't know where he comes from. This brings the third of us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour, calling us number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David. This is the 12th hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now it's at the 12th hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 21st, 2015, or it is Chisley 10, 2019. We will start our third service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled The Last Mile of the Way. If I walked in the pathway of duty, if I worked till the close of the day, I shall see the great King in his beauty, when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day. I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Before Yahshua I proclaim the glad story, I seek for the sheep gone astray, and sure he will show me his glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. In the dearest of ties we must sever. Here's a song we'll sing every day. But we'll sit, there's no sign forever. We're not gone the last mile of the way. We're gone the last mile of the way. When we'll rest at the close of the day. Gone the last mile.